The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this Sunday, November 28th. Of 2021. And the title of my message tonight is Let Us Hear the Conclusion of the Whole Matter. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And so we may get a phone call tonight. I'm hoping that Pastor Joe will give us a call in and let us an update. But I tell you what, folks, I think we're going to start off with a prayer. We have a fellow named Carl Evans, who is in the hospital locally, and he's got pneumonia. His pastor was not allowed to get in to see him. And so here, they want to give him remdesivir. He does not want this remdesivir, okay? And so they want us to pray for him. I guess he's not in real good shape. And I was hoping his pastor would call in and join with me, and he may yet. But so I'm going to call on all of you out there. Okay, it looks like we have Pastor Joe. He's the pastor of Family Baptist Church in Cortland, our sister church. Joe, are you there?
Yes, Pastor.
All right, would you give us an update on Carl, if you could?
Well, the update I got was they're still struggling keeping his oxygen level up and have, you know, different masks on. They're trying just to push, you know, oxygen into his lungs, trying to keep it above 90 at the count. And just struggling, you know, the protocols in the hospital, I think we're all aware that they are doing the wrong thing consistently, and they're trying to give him remdesivir. We know that 25% of people take that their livers and kidneys shut down, so we're trying not to have that happen. Just, you know, obviously he needs a lot of prayer. You know, the protocols they have at the hospital, they won't even let his pastor in to pray with him.
And I don't even think that's legal.
Yeah, exactly. And they only let one person in a day, and it's the same person. So if one person's there, and like his wife, obviously, and she comes out, no one else can go in. She's allowed to go back. The first day they didn't want to do that, but then she's allowed to go back in there, but they won't let any other people go. And if someone else goes in for the day, then his wife can't go in to be with her own husband. So just doing wrong, just like they've been doing for the last 2 years. It's cruel and unusual punishment for people in the worst position. And then the doctors, you know, his wife has asked the doctors about hydrochloroquine or ivermectin. And the doctors there in Georgia County, oh, there's no studies proving that works. We don't use unproven things.
There's nothing but studies that prove that work. You couldn't be more wrong. And that's out there in Georgia County.
Yes, unfortunately.
Boy, I'd like to talk to the...
You know, we've had the same issues in Trumbull County, the hospitals down here, same issues. And that's why Brother Carl, he was sick for a few days, you know, starting Thanksgiving, right around Thanksgiving. And, you know, we knew he had pneumonia going something. He just couldn't breathe. It was going bad. And I told him, well, we need to get you some kind of, you know, antibacterial medication, you know, but, you know, he chose to go to the hospital. He said, well, I'm going to go to Jolly County. I'm not going to go to Trumbull because we know that they do bad things down there, but here at Jolly County is doing the same exact protocols that they do in Trumbull. I think, obviously, it's all across the country. That's why we need to keep praying as Christians. Our country is under attack in many ways, and, you know, only God above can save us. He's our hope. And that's why we're asking for prayer tonight for Brother Carl. You know, we need God to intervene in this situation because we can't rely on those doctors. We can't rely on people that won't, you know, look at the truth themselves. They're just following orders, just like the Nazis, and this is terrible. It's a terrible situation. We can't be in there and even be with his wife and comfort her. You know, his own sister, his family can't be there. Brother Carl has two young daughters. It's just a terrible situation.
Well, you know, Pastor Joe, the hospitals now are becoming more like the fake news media. They have lost credibility. They have lost so much credibility. They're looking at now, people look like if you go to the hospital, you're going to go there to die. And it's because of this practice, this arrogance. And it's because of about the money with Big Pharma. They're in bed with Big Pharma. And, again, it's no longer about the care of the patient. It's what Big Pharma says. This is the protocol. This is what you're going to do. You know what? We're going to lose some patients. No big deal. And what we're seeing, and we've been talking about this right now, we're living in the time and age when you see all the big corporations, Big Pharma, all the big corporations, you see the high tech, Facebook and Twitter, they're all working together. The so-called elite, Joe, these people that have this mindset that there are two types of people, those that are meant to serve and those that are meant to be served, and they, the elite, for the good of survival of the planet, must eliminate by many different means the population of the planet. And like I said, I've said in their meetings before where they've spoken openly, not knowing who I was, and they want to reduce us down to a half a billion people, Joe. And people better realize they'll use any means that they can. People are sick. All these chemtrails up there in the air, and, you know, these poisonous so-called vaccines. People are dropping dead. They're dying every day in vast numbers. So we're going to have a really bad winter because of these poisonous pokes, these deadly, what they are, Joe, is they're bioweapons that are being used to thin out the population, to reduce the population. And it is so evil and so wicked and so horrendous. The average person out there cannot grasp the concept. They don't even want to think that people are that wicked and that evil, but they are. They are. And so, you know.
And that's one thing about, you know, Scripture tells us that ignorance isn't bliss, and people just following orders doing wrong, they're not irresponsible or unresponsible for God. So the doctors in the hospital, the nurses that are keeping his family separated, keeping the pastor away, that are, you know, pushing bad things on a fellow who's in desperate straits, they're going to be held responsible for God. And that's across the world, not just our country, the things going on across the world, the same thing. They're following this death cult, and they're going to be responsible for God. They need the fear of God. They need stricken down. They need to come humble before God and get saved. But, again, we need prayers for Brother Carl. He needs healed by the great physician, because I don't believe those doctors are going to do what's right, just like they don't do what's right by most people, as you said, going to those hospitals.
Yeah, they've lost all credibility. People are afraid to go to the hospital nowadays. And, you know, the AMA has lost all credibility. They're no longer a credible organization. But, Joe, why don't you and all the folks, you folks out there, listen, there's power. There's power, power, power in prayer. And right now, if you're listening to us, you right now, you either need prayer or you will need prayer at some point. And the Bible says those who show mercy receive it. So right now, we're going to ask you to pray with us for Carl. And Pastor Joe, you're his pastor, so would you lead the people nationwide in that prayer?
Yes, sir. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we lift up to you, Brother Carl, again. We know that you are the great physician. You are the hope, all of us, our only hope. We pray for his healing. We know the situation that he's going through and you know, the fear, being alone in there, being separated, and we know that it's not your will that your people will be like that and be treated like that, and we pray for the people in that situation in charge in the hospital, for their conviction of your spirit, that they would change their mind, their course, that they would stop treating people like that. We pray for his wife being there with him, and that she'd feel your presence, that she'd have your wisdom, you know, being told different things by the doctors and nurses, that she'd have the right questions to ask, that she would know when to, you know, be firm in her responses and things. We pray, again, for his healing and, you know, on the inside, the inner man, for his strengthening. We know it's a bad thing. You're going through suffering and have questions of why. And we just pray for his strengthening and his faith, that you draw him to you, Lord God. We pray that he would know and feel your presence there, that he would know he's not alone, that he's not forsaken. We trust and we know that you bring healing, Lord God, that we be your will. We know that he can recover this very second. We just pray that that testimony, the miracle recovery he's going to have, that there would be a testimony there, that there would be doctors, there would be nurses there that would be even saved knowing and seeing what you did through healing him. We pray again for his family, his children, the family around him, to comfort them, Lord, give them peace, your peace that passes understanding. We pray that you would help them to trust in you, that their faith would grow, that they would see you moving, that they'd know that you are the God of gods, you are the Almighty, that you are all-powerful, and that you can do all things and you do all things well. We know that you're faithful to your people. We know that we are special to you. We pray, again, that you just surround that family with your grace and mercy and love, that they'd feel your presence. We pray for their securing and their help in this time of need. We pray again that you touch his body this minute, clear that congestion, that pneumonia out of his lungs, give him a good night's rest and his body to recover. We pray again for the wisdom of the doctors there, change their direction. We know that the king's heart is in your hand, Lord. We pray that you change those doctors' direction, that they'd come across the truth, they'd come to it, and treat people better and treat with the real things that can heal, even in that hospital there. Lord, we pray for those around the country that might be suffering the same situation with their family members and friends and know things, or people going through the same thing. We pray for their securing as well. Lord God, we need you. Our nation is such a bad place. We pray, forgive us. Forgive us for the violence, for the slaughter of children, for the pornography, for all the things that our nation is given to. We pray for your hand of mercy and grace. We pray for revival in our land. We pray for your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Joe. And very quickly, give your church a plug. Would you like to go to the Bible study with me tonight? Can you do that?
Yeah, I can stand for a few minutes.
Okay. Well, go ahead and plug Family Baptist Church and tell the folks about your service, what times. And.
Well, we're in Cortland, a little bit north of Warren in Trumbull County, and 162 South High Street here in Cortland, a little plaza. We have Sunday morning service at 10 a.m. and then 11 a.m., so we have Bible teaching, Bible preaching. And obviously we stand on the truth, God's Word, King James Bible, and we don't compromise. We obviously know what's going on in our land, and we talk about it, and we pray against it, and we pray for revival, and we do the best we can to get the word out all around the world what we can do.
Amen. And you're an actual unregistered, actual New Testament church.
Yes, sir.
And so, all righty. Well, Joe, the title of my message was, Let Us Hear the Conclusion of the Whole Matter. And what is happening because of the days that we're living in. Joe, I'm getting letters every day from people all over the country, and there are many, many people are just, they're so distressed about the way things are happening. Now, we are living in a very distressful time. And like we just mentioned, there are those forces out there that are out to destroy, especially the church. I mean, we're surrounded by them. But the good news is that God is on his throne. He's in complete control. And he don't really like people messing with his children, does he?
No, that's it. We're the apple of his eye. So I feel sorry for the people that think they're getting to get away with this. Even if they get away with this life, they got a judgment coming.
Boy, you're not kidding. Well, we're going to start in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And as we go through here, you know, join in with me. And verses 9 through 14. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he gave a good head and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are goads, and as nails fastened by the master of the assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work unto judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, the fear of the Lord, we know, is the beginning of evil, the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, not the beginning of evil, beginning of wisdom. But Solomon here was the preacher, and he taught the people knowledge, and he gave them instruction on what they should heed or be alert to. The acceptable words are found here in God's Word, the Bible. Joe, these are the acceptable words. This woke language of illusion, confusion, and delusion are to be rebuked, refused, and removed. What do you think?
Amen, brother. Amen.
So here, when he's talking about these goads, Pastor Joe, the goads, they were used to keep the oxen moving in the right direction. Isn't that exactly what God's Word, the Bible, does for us? Doesn't it keep us moving in the right direction?
It definitely does, and so does, you know, good Bible preaching and teaching.
Now, Joe, I'll have to say I've had a very interesting life. You know, over 40 years, we haven't had one boring day, and you know, we happen to, you and I both say things that make people upset with us because we're preaching from God's Word, the Bible. But here, I've had so many people ask me to write a book. They want me to write a book, you know, because for 49 years of, like I said, an interesting life, the battles in the pro-life movement, the battles with the communists out there, the battles with the Satanists out there, the battles with the fake news media. It's been very interesting. But, Joe, right now there are probably billions of books in this world, billions of books in this world. And, Joe, there's only one book that's going to stand the test of time. There's only one book that will be there. The rest are all going to be forgotten. Every single other one will be forgotten. But the one book that will never pass away, I got my hand on right now. That's God's Word, the King James Bible, is it not?
Amen.
And so I want to go over to Ecclesiastes, or over to Proverbs, I'm sorry, Proverbs chapter 23, and read just two verses. Buy the truth. This is chapter 23 of Proverbs and verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child should have joy of him. Now, one of the founding fathers of the modern progressive Democratic mob movement was Karl Marx. He instructed his students to rule the proletariat by keeping them in fear, keeping them confused, keeping them off balance, and indoctrinated. This is exactly, Joe, exactly what the strategy of the Antichrist Communist Party is today. This is exactly what they're trying to shove down the throats of the simple-minded viewers of ABC, NBC, PMSNBC, CNN, CBS. What do you think?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, too, that verse 13 of Ecclesiastes 12, where you started, notice the communists, the first thing they do, well, the conclusion of the matter is fear God. Well, they want to erase God and have no fear of God. They try to mock God. Everything on TV and our culture is mocking God and then keeping his commandments, so they turn all that upside down, right? Well, into those who call good evil and evil good, that's exactly what they do. So the whole summation of the matter, they flip upside down.
Right, Isaiah 5. You're exactly right. they're exactly in total opposition to whatever the Word of God teaches, huh?
Yep, exactly upside down. I mean, it's so, once you get saved and you know God's Word and you see it, it's amazing how it's exactly upside down.
All right, let's go back to this verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. So he's telling you to hold on to the truth. Now, there's only one. There's only one perfect source of truth. And again, we have access to it. It's right here. It's the Word. It's God's Word, the Bible. Now, the simple-minded out there, Joe, Proverbs chapter 2 talks about the simple-minded, okay? They think that we are the ones that have been deceived, okay? And so now think about this for a minute. How often have you heard these people? I debated atheists in the past, and these atheists will tell you there is no God, yet they'll at the same time show absolute anger and disdain against God. So if you don't think that God exists, why are you so angry at him? Do you think, Joe, that God has put that conscience in all of us and that they're deceiving themselves?
Definitely. Definitely. And the first person that they blame when something goes wrong is God.
Yep. Remember some years ago when they had that thing on Wall Street where they were demonstrating to shut down Wall Street? And they were carrying placards, and these are fools. These are absolute fools out there. And the placards were saying, when Jesus returns, we'll kill him again. Now, he's going to return for sure, but it's not him that's going to be doing the dying, is it?
No, they got a sad day coming if they don't repent.
You're telling me. Now, I want to go over to Philippians chapter 4. And in Philippians chapter 4, starting with verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now, Paul was rejoicing from a prison cell. He was in a prison cell because he knew that his troubles would soon be over. And here, there's nothing, Joe, that enrages our enemies out there, the enemies of Christ and the enemies of his church, as much as seeing God's people, seeing the church happy and rejoicing and praying to our Lord God. When they do everything they can to try to make us miserable, try to force themselves upon us, force their ways, and when our people are just happy in the Lord, it really makes them angry, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's true. It's absolutely true. If you're in the marketplace of ideas, you're in the workplace, wherever you are, and you are, you know, showing and displaying praise under our God, you know, thankfulness for things he does, it makes them very angry.
When I wear that cap, that you see me wearing when I go to, you know, when I'm out and about, it simply says it's a black cap, and it's got bright, big, bold red letters on it, and it says, America needs Jesus. America needs Jesus. And when I was here 2 years ago, I walked up and down the halls of Congress there for a week trying to get aid to our brothers and sisters there that are being persecuted in Vietnam. And I had 22 Mountain Yard pastors with me. Anyhow, when I wore that hat, and Joe, these feminists, when they saw me, these ones there in Congress, you ought to have seen the look in their eyes. They hated that hat because it says America needs Jesus. I mean, there was a real hatred there. And I could hear, as they passed, hissing sounds. So when they realize, Joe, that they have failed to force their will upon us, they're so miserable when we're rejoicing in the Lord, aren't they?
Definitely, and they take it as a front. They think that it's actually violence unto them. And you can read some of their posts, their blogs, read the different things they put together that, you know, just praising God is a verbal assault which can become a physical violence against them. It's amazing how out of their mind people have become.
Here, I want to go over, Joe, to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and just one verse, and that verse is verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now here, Paul mentions three characteristics of an effective Christian leader here. One, power. Two, love. And a sound mind. Now, we as born-again, blood-washed Christians, we have access to all three of these because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, don't we?
Amen.
So, we, Joe, we're not confused. We're not confused about things that the world seems to be a little confused at. You know, today, when I was preaching this message, I asked people at the church, I said, if there's anyone, you know, that's confused, is there anyone in here that's not sure of their gender? Well, Joe, and I just got crickets, and I said, does everyone in here, if you know what your gender is, raise your hand? And every single person raised their hand because they weren't confused. Now, I asked them, how many of you know that the gender that you are will be the very same gender next week? That's not going to change because you feel like you, right? And of course, the same thing. You see, they all knew that next week they were going to be the same gender, Joe. Now, see, this isn't the way it is with the Democrats out there.
Right. Yeah, there's a recent poll done by Barna that 18 to 24-year-olds in our country right now, 39% identify as LGBTQ, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you can't tell me it's not because they're recruiting so hard.
No, it's because they're confused. They're totally confused. They're simple-minded. They've been indoctrinated. And here, now, Joe, you see, we know, when I asked in the church, is there anyone in here that has taken the bioweapon, the poisonous poke, the bioweapon? Nobody. Not one person. Okay? So, God has given us a mind, right? He's given us that sound mind, that we know the difference. And so here, now, at the same time, you and I are very, very, very well aware of the insanity of the left. We know with no uncertainty that we were made in the image of God, that we're triune beings, that we have a body, soul, and spirit. Now, Joe, I remember I debated Rob Sherman some years ago on the Gary D. Show, and I don't know if you remember him. He was one of the best known. He was a disc jockey of the year for like 3 years, I think, straight. Rob Sherman was the president of the National Atheist Association. It was a very short debate. Rob didn't want to stick around. Yeah, but anyhow, our enemies believe, Joe, that they had their beginnings with a kind of slipping and crawling out of a primordial slime. You know, they kind of crawled out of the slime. But, see, they don't know where the slime came from. They do not understand that you cannot have a creation without a creator. It's never happened. It's mathematically, it's impossible. No one has ever seen a creation that didn't have a creator because there has never been one. Mm-hmm. And so,
say it's amazing. They talk about how, well, we spawned some amino acids in a laboratory. Well, that's not life, and that was you guys doing it, adding things to it and manipulating it. That's called creation, you know, a creator doing something. You know, they still can't wrap their minds around the fact that everything can't come from nothing.
Well, you're right. It's manipulating. See, God provided everything. You know, the substance was always, it was provided by God. You know, whatever you make it is out of. Yeah, well, you might take two or three different chemicals and combine them and come up with a new type of chemical, but still, the substance was there that God provided, right?
Right, exactly.
And so here, so we, you and I have, okay, we know for absolute fact, okay, that we have a sure and a sure knowledge of eternal life in heaven. We know that. There's no doubts in our mind. We have an unbreakable promise of immortality. God cannot break his promises, can he?
No, sir.
And then the opposition believe that they will, well, they're going to, when they die, many of them believe that they'll simply cease to exist. But they're in for an extremely, I mean an extremely, very extremely rude awakening because God's word doesn't stutter when it speaks about their future. You know, every place in the scripture, Ecclesiastes 10, 1 and 2, and all through scripture, where it refers to those on the right and those on the left. And it refers to those on the left as fools. And here today, of course, the communists, the antichrist, the deathocrats, refer to themselves as the political left. But God's word doesn't stutter at all about their future. I think if we go over to Matthew chapter 25, for example, and in Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 through 46. Do you by chance have your Bible with you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great. Would you want to read Matthew 25, verses 41 through 46? And I'm going to have to step away from it because I've been preaching all day, so I got to get me something to wet my whistle. I'll be back and start to read, and I'll be back in 2 seconds.
Verse number 41. Matthew 25 says, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, cursed, in your everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not." Verse 44, "Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me." In verse 46, "Ye shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal."
All righty, very good. So here, we must never, ever cease to warn the wicked. You know, God's word doesn't return void, Joe. It'll either lead those, this word, we have to continue to warn the wicked, because God's word is either going to lead them to eternal life or it's going to lead them to eternal punishment, won't it?
Amen. And that, you know, Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It's interesting, they say they have no faith now, but when they open their eyes in eternity, as you always say, they're going to believe then, and they're going to have faith then. They're going to know that all the words are true.
Well, we know that there are no unbelievers in heaven or hell. Everybody in heaven and hell are believers, aren't they?
Definitely.
Well, I want to go now over to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." So here, Jesus is telling us about the way to eternal life. Now, the Lord is speaking. Is he speaking here with absolute certainty and absolute authority?
Definitely, yeah. And he doesn't waste any words.
Okay. Does he know, because he knows he's about to die, doesn't he?
Yeah, this is heading up towards the cross.
Okay, so here, you know, we've often preached, because often you'll hear people say that Jesus died for everybody, but Jesus didn't die for everybody. Jesus knew exactly who he was dying for. He knew exactly who would receive him. He knew exactly who would be covered by the blood. Now, his blood was sufficient to cover the sins of the whole world. His blood was sufficient to save the whole world. But he knew, before he ever went to the cross, he knew those that would receive him and those that would deny him. When he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If I were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So when he went to prepare a place, he didn't prepare a place for the whole world. He prepared a place for those he knew would be there, huh?
Right, and it says for you, that meaning, you know, his people.
Yep. And so when we take a look over in Romans chapter 8, we see very specific, because he tells you very specifically who he died for. The Pope said that humanly speaking, Jesus failed at Calvary. He failed at Calvary because...
What a shame.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. Has Jesus ever failed at anything?
No way. He never will.
So if he would have died for the whole world would be saved. It would have to be saved. God doesn't fail at anything, right? He says he can't. He can't fail, okay? And so, is God not omnipotent?
He definitely is.
Okay, so here, if we go over to, well, let us go over to Isaiah 54. I want to go over there for a minute. In Isaiah 54, this is a very familiar verse to you. Verse 17. Isaiah 54, verse 17. Would you want to read that?
No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the saints of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
So here, today, and we have, you know, we talked about this earlier, okay? We have a lot of enemies out there, a lot of weapons formed against us. Today we have the bioweapons formed against us. We have the corruption, the election fraud formed against us. We have the deep state corruption formed against us. The FBI, the CIA, the NSA, all of those, you know, the entire federal government is formed against us today. It's become our enemy. And we have, of course, the liberal lying media. All of the liberal lying media are Antichrist. We have a White House that is completely corrupted. There's nothing out there in that White House today that's got any redeeming merit to it at all. It's totally corrupted, totally corrupted, okay? We got a judicial that is corrupted. You know, for 45 years, I was in the prison ministry, going to the prisons for 40 years, and as I watched over the years, as it become more and more corrupted, where it got to the point you simply had two groups of villains. You just had two groups of outlaws, two groups of criminals, one in charge of the other in the prison system. That's the way it's become. Now, I'm not saying that there's nobody in the system. There were some good people still in there, especially in the guards, but I watched it deteriorate over the years. This is all signs of this is all what the Lord Jesus told us to watch for, right? 2 Timothy 3, Romans chapter 1.
Right, perilous times shall come at the last days.
So today we're up against the drug cartels. We're up against the human trafficking cartels that are working directly with the Biden crime cartel. The drug cartels, the human trafficking, they're working directly. And Joe, some horrible things are happening. And we're trying to tell people, Biden has been flying these children in 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning in the locations. Then they're bussed away, and these children aren't heard from again. Joe, this is a real evil, sinister thing. A real evil, sinister thing that's happening. And as far as I, you know, Biden is a known, as far as I'm concerned, a pedophile. It's wicked. It's evil. It's totally and completely evil, Joe. And then here, go ahead.
I want to say it's incredible that there is so much scandal, wickedness. There's so many people that are leveraged that we can't get anyone to come out and say, hey, I'm a witness to this evil. And there's no one that will prosecute it. It's amazing the corruption is from the top to the bottom and the bottom to the top. It's just through and through.
Well, we do have a few congressmen and senators. We have Jim Jordan be a good example. We've got some that green lady. You've got a handful of congressmen that have you know, they've said, no, we're not going to compromise. We're not going to take it. We're going to stand. We're going to fight back. And we have a handful of senators. We've got Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and Holly. And they are standing up, and they are fighting back. And that John Kennedy is another one. But you're right. What's happened is George Soros has bought and paid for. You saw this last thing with this Kyle Rittenhouse, the prostitutor. These are bought and paid for. These are George Soros bought and paid for prostitutes. There, he puts them in there. You saw what's happening in San Francisco, Los Angeles, everywhere that you have the Democrats in charge of this city. They first of all, they work. They are criminals. They themselves, these prostitutes, are they themselves even more corrupt than the criminals, than their fellow criminals that they want to get off. They try to get off. They love it when these guys hit the streets and commit more crimes and kill people. These people are wicked and evil to the bone. These are bought and paid for by George Soros. And you know what, Joe? We've been telling people this for years. And what we've been telling people for years, people are now just starting to understand and figure out. And so
I think that speaks for a lot of the folk, you know, Christians, believers across this land, they're praying for revival for a long time and praying to see justice. You know, sometimes we crave just to see some truth on the airwaves and see some justice. And though we have some of the names you mentioned, which are very good people and seem to be speaking the truth, but we need to see more action. We need to see some things actually happen, not just give a flip service. So the politicians that are, quote unquote, on our side, we need them to actually start to act and make things happen. That's the only way we're going to see revival or some turning in our land than just people trying to fundraise off of speaking what we know is the truth.
Well, Joe, we had a president. We had a real president. I have a list of things here that President Trump, a real president, has done for us because he was working for America. He was doing his job. You know, the difference is from start to finish, Trump led by asking the American people, what do you want me to do? Okay, and then he did it. He worked America. Our military needs to be updated. He did that. America, we have a terrorist problem. Trump worked to fix the terrorist problem. America, we had a nuke problems in North Korea and Iran. Trump fixed that. America, we need to finish our embassy commitment to Israel. Trump fixed that. I mean, I have a whole list of things going down the line that he did because he was a real president. He was working for America. But then, when it was called upon for the senators, for the Republican senators to stand with him, not only did they betray him, They betrayed God, country, us. And I sat there, and people that I thought I knew, I learned they weren't what I thought they were. I saw what Mike Pence did. Mike Pence, you know, Joe, Pence is saying he was bound by the Constitution. Mike Pence had the constitutional power to say, before I certify this election, I want to take a 2 weeks, or a week and 2 weeks, and I want to look into some of these charges before I certify. He didn't have to say, well, I'm going to decertify these elections right now for fraud. He said, look, I want. He could have done that, but he didn't. He knew that. And so Mike, as far as I'm concerned, his political career is finished, okay? Unless they form a third party, a rhino party, okay? There were others up there.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past them to make sure they keep the Democrats in power.
Yeah, I wouldn't, yeah. And others that should have stood with him, now they know. They know now how angry people were at him, okay? But they didn't. They failed to stand with him, just like the pastors. If anybody in this country has failed God, and Joe, I have people asking me all the time, why aren't the pastors doing this? Why aren't the pastors preaching that? Why aren't they telling us? Well, the fact of it is, Joe, the vast majority of those in the pulpit are not saved. The vast majority are not saved at all, okay? And how do you know? Well, by the fruits they bear, by what they're preaching. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions. Do we have an excess of bold preachers by any means in the pulpit?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that's a lot of the problem is you have families, several generations, even if they are churchgoers, quote unquote, they don't know what real preaching even sounds like. And so if they go to real church and expose the real preaching and they feel conviction of the Holy Spirit, they hear the word of God, they're kind of a little afraid. They don't want to come back to that. They like going where they just feel warm and fuzzy and they get their coffee and listen to the nice sermon that they dance along with the praise team going on and they go home and nothing ever changes in their life and they live their life like everybody else. That's our nation right now. That's neo-evangelical Christianity.
Well, it's an interesting thing because some years ago I actually had one of those neo-evangelicals saying that he likes to go to the mega churches, the big mega church, because you can fit in there, you can be comfortable, and you don't have to worry about anyone asking you to do anything. I mean, boy, that's a good reason to go to church, right?
Yeah, Jesus went around saying, repent, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. That's not asking you to do anything, I guess.
Well, you know, you got the Word of Faith movement telling you that repentance is not even necessary for salvation. Wait till the Lord finds out, huh?
Yeah. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful things in your name? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you.
I never knew you. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8. And here, you know, this is kind of what I was talking about before. If we start in Romans chapter 8 with verse 28 and read it all the way through verse 39. Okay. Would you like to do that?
So Romans 8, starting in verse 28?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38, for I am persuaded and neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Well, he starts out by telling us that all things work together for good to them love him. But then what we had spoken about earlier, who did Christ die for? He gets very specific here. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his. And so those that he did foreknow, those that he did predestinate, those that he did that were conformed. And so he also said those he justified, and those he justified he also glorified. So he's kind of very specific, isn't he?
Right. I think the whole point of it is whosoever will, and those who do, he made the way of salvation. He secured the salvation. He makes it permanent. He's going to sanctify us, and he gives us a future eternity, and he has it all prepared and set up for those who choose him.
So then, you're right. So what shall we say then to those things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, we just read a litany of those that are against us, okay? But, and all of those people that are against us, is that a problem for God?
Not at all.
Okay, so here, so let me ask you this. Well, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? So now then, let me ask you this. How much, to what extent can we be absolutely, positively certain of what God said he would do?
We know that all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, and we know that he never lies, and he's not going to change his mind. The two immutable things. And we know, according to this, it says here, freely give us all things. We don't have to jump through hoops. We don't have to do special things. It's a free gift, salvation in Christ Jesus by faith.
All right, so if we had George Soros' money and Bill Gates' money, could we buy, say, 10 minutes out of hell?
Definitely not.
So all of the money in the world can't buy them 1 minute out of hell, huh?
Not 1 millisecond.
So here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness? Joe, he goes through this. He takes you to the very realm of life, to the very realm of death, to the past, to the present, and the future, to the entire realm of the universe, even including angelic beings. And there's nothing out there that can cause us to lose our salvation. That's what he's talking about, the love of Christ there. It is when he says, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? So there's nothing out there that can cause us to lose our salvation, which would be separating us from the love of Christ. Now we cannot lose our salvation. I've talked to people that told me they were saved and then they lost their salvation, then they got saved again. And that can't happen because we don't keep our salvation. Our salvation, the Bible says, is kept in heaven. And the Lord Jesus is the sealer and the Holy Spirit is the seal for us to, but some people have told me, well, you can't lose it, but you can give it away. We'd have to find a way to get to heaven in these bodies, and that's going to be a chore. And then we'd have to wrestle it away from the Lord Jesus and the Holy Ghost, and you better pack a lunch before you try that, huh?
Yeah, that seems pretty impossible.
Yeah. See, and is that reality, what we're just talking about? That's reality, isn't it?
Sure is. Either you got it or you don't got it. There's no in-between, and there's no getting it and losing it. There's no giving it away. See, because it's all his. It's his work. It's finished on the cross, and it's his free gift, and he's the one who secures it. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And if you, as you always say, quote Pastor Sanders, right, if you could lose it, you would, right?
Absolutely. All it would take is a sin, huh?
Amen, and we do that every day.
Yep.
And the greatest is James 4:17, right? Whosoever knoweth to do with right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We do that all day long, every day. We don't even think about all the good we should be doing.
Well, you know, you jumped the gun because that's going to be the last verses that we read. But here, right now, I'm going to jump over to Hebrews 13 and read verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you. No, for that verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Okay, so whatever men can do unto us, the Lord God can undo. If men kill us with their plagues or war or their bioweapons, whatever, God will give us eternal life. And so what this world can do is very temporary, and that's where we go over to what you said. We have God's assurance on that, and that's over in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Now, you say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him that is sin. The long and short of this passage of Scripture, Joe, is that we don't really have time wasting on worrying about all that the world can do to us or all that's taking place in this world. We need to get about doing the Lord's work. For time's running out of us to place up our crowns in eternity, aren't it?
Yep, amen. We can look up and see our redemption draweth nigh.
Amen. Joe, you got 2 minutes. Can you give an invitation in 2 minutes?
I can try, Pastor.
Go on.
If you're out there tonight, the most important thing, period, in your life is, who is Jesus? And he is the King. He's the Savior. He's the only one. He's God in the flesh. He came and dwelt in this life. He lived a perfect, perfect life. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. He came out of the grave the third day alive. He says, because I live, you shall live also. Our works, as in going to church, church membership, giving money to something, giving a kidney transplant, serving at the homeless shelter, all the good things you can think of, all the good stuff, will not earn salvation. The Bible says all our righteousness is filthy rags to a perfect, holy God. We can only be saved through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. It's exclusive. It's one way, but it's a free gift. You can choose right now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You cry out to him by faith. Say, I believe he died for me on that cross. He paid the penalty for my sin, all the things I've done wrong. He came out of the grave the third day. And you trust him as your Lord and Savior. Just like you would trust a parachute if you jump out of an airplane. That's the same kind of trust, the same kind of faith you need, that you trust him. You give up your own devices, your own way. You can't leverage God. You can't manipulate God. You can't earn it. It's a free gift from God to be saved forever. As Pastor Sanders said, it's eternal salvation. It's not temporary. It's his salvation to give, and he keeps it, and he secures us. You need to, this very night, you have no promise of tomorrow. You need to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved.
Amen. Absolutely. Well, it's been a real blessing having you here with me tonight. I kind of got spoiled. I like having someone to go through this Bible study with me like you did. And we're going to continue. Yeah, well, I thank you. And so anytime you kind of feel that you'd like to do that, you're welcome to join me every Sunday night, okay? I really appreciate it. We're out of time for tonight, Joe. So as we do every night at this time, we say good night. God bless. And always, always, let's do it. Keep fighting the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.